All right, so I've got a special announcement for you all today. The Empowered Entrepreneur live event, which is going to be hosted in Los Angeles on October 23rd and 24th of this year, 2019, is now available and open for enrollment. There are limited spots to this event because I host it here in my home. And if you have been following me for some time, if you've seen pictures of events at my house, this is your opportunity to come and spend 2 full days with me and a group of other women that we really, really dive deep into the inner work as well as the outer business work. So what can you expect from the Empowered Entrepreneur event? You know, I like to say that your business only grows as much as you do. So for you to really immerse yourself for 2 days in an expansive environment, for you to be surrounded by other like-minded women entrepreneurs, for you to have the opportunity for me to guide you and give very, very clear guidance on whatever it may be, your next offer, your pricing, your systems and strategies. Maybe you're ready to hire the next person on your team. Maybe you're wanting to get crystal clear on, you know, what kind of the business plan looks like for the next 3 months or so. Maybe you notice that there is just something internally really holding you back. And you know that if you get yourself into a room, if you get yourself into a expansive environment, then it will transform. I am highly skilled at supporting women and having these transformations. And we walk through a number of processes in this live event to do just that. I want you to go check it out at the link below. You can go to thefemininecollective.co/live event. Again, thefemininecollective.co/live event. This event is called the Empowered Entrepreneur, and feel free to check out all of the things on the site. There is a video there waiting for you, other women's experiences of this 2-day live event, and all of the pricing. We do have an early bird pricing that is available through September 20th for all of you that are ready to jump right in. And now it's time to dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Soul of Business. My name is Heidi Stevens, and I'm a coach for women entrepreneurs just like you. My intention for this podcast is to share tools and techniques that I've found invaluable as I've built and scaled businesses over the past 10 years. My mission is to help you uplevel your mindset, get clear on your strategy, and access your intuition to create a business and a life better than you think is possible. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of inspiration and place to go for tools, techniques, and the perspective shift that you need to go out and get what you desire. Let's get started. Okay, so I am so excited to introduce you all to today's guest. I had so much fun talking to her. She is such an absolute bright light, and you can tell as, you know, when you listen to her speak, you're like, oh, yeah, this woman knows what's up. Like, she has done her inner work, and it is just pouring out of her in every single way. She is a possibility warrior. She is a fire captain. She has this amazing story, which she shares with us in this episode. She is a coach, a speaker, an author, a podcast host, and she helps creators and entrepreneurs find the truth of who they are and why they do what they do so that they can change the world, heal from their stories, and magnetize the selling process. What I love what she says and what we get into in detail in this episode is that when you get to the root of your story and when you get to the pain of your story and are able to transform it, once you uncover it, it actually becomes your superpower. And so when you learn to tell your story in a way that resonates, your customers then be able to relate to you on a personal level, and you are no longer selling. You are simply just showing up and magnetizing your customers, your audience to you. So get ready. You're probably going to want to take some notes on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Shelly Varela. Here we go. Shelly, so excited to have you here. Welcome to the Soul of Business.
Thank you so much. It's awesome and an honor to be here.
Well, let's dive right in. Why don't you just give us a little bit of background, who you are, your story, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So I, as a kid, was the bullied kid in school. So I developed this amazing imagination, which at the time was essentially how I coped and survived. But as I got older and then I went in from middle school to high school and towards the end of high school, the world, my family and everybody at large, including myself, had basically labeled me an artist. So I was a writer and a painter and a just very creative person. So as I'm getting towards the end of high school, I'm starting to get really, really anxious because I'm looking towards like, what is the thing that's going to be my career, my life's path, you know, the thing that I'm going to make my mark in the world with. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking within the label of artist. Mm-hmm. But what happened was the harder I looked, the more anxious I got because none of it felt like a secure job or a career that I was going to be able to have consistent income and, you know, a healthy balance in terms of working time on, time off.
Sure.
But around the same time, I'm speaking to my friend Steve, and he's going through a really hard time fighting for custody of his little girl. So every second weekend, I would go to his house and I would just try to keep him talking for as long as I could about anything that I could to help him through that time. But, ironically, I had a lot of time in those days as well. But the one thing he could talk about forever was his job as a firefighter. Mm. And I'd never had any experience hearing about this. And he's telling me about these rescues and these fires. And I'm like, that's your job. Like, that's what you get to do every day. And I just watched him get light up explaining, you know, how much he loved his job and what a privilege it was to serve and how exciting and interesting and all that. But I would have never known otherwise that I had a natural mechanical aptitude because, you know, that's the danger of labels. I was only looking in the label of artist. I was Shelley the artist. So as long as I was Shelley the artist and that was my identity, it left no room for me to be Shelley the firefighter, Shelley the anything else, because I was claiming that not as something I enjoyed, but as who I was.
Sure.
So I was hanging off Steve's every word, like, and this became obsessive on my part. I was just like, I couldn't get enough of the information, and weeks turned to months and stories turned to lessons. And I remember this particular day I was driving in his pickup truck and we pull up next to like a tractor trailer, and on the back it has a dangerous goods placard. And I still at my core am that shy, bullied kid. So I looked at it. I listened to all of his lessons. I was the best student. And I thought I knew what it meant, but I didn't have the confidence to say it. So instead I asked it. I'm like, hey, Steve, you know, what does that placard mean? And he gave me the wrong answer. And I corrected him and he looked at me and he said, why don't you just apply? And I said, like, look at me. I'm not big enough, brave enough, smart enough, strong enough. And there are no girls in firefighting. Like, this was 28 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I had grown to adore him, to trust him, to like, he had so much integrity. He was so smart. And I believed him and I trusted him. And I had confidence in him more than I had confidence in myself. And without missing a beat, he looks me square in the eye and he said, there's going to be a girl one day. Why wouldn't it be you? And wow. So for the entire day, I traveled around in a bit of a daze. And that night, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I'm lying in bed and I'm looking up at my white stippled ceiling. And I said three words that changed my entire life. And those words were, why not me? But yes. When I heard myself say them, though, when I heard myself say them, it was different. It was almost like there was like this switch that was flipped. And my life has never been the same since that day.
Wow.
And so, you know, I battled and I struggled. I tried the physical and I was so far behind. I thought I was first. I'm like, I'll just wander in and I'll try the physical and it's going to be hard, but I'm sure I'll get through it. That is like, I just got my butt handed to me. And so I got knocked down and I was devastated because it was the first time. I'm like, oh, I found my thing. And then I realized this physical, like I'm 108 pounds soaking wet. Like this is not going to be doable for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had a pity party for a solid couple days. And then I called the university back because then I got mad. And I'm like, no, I need the specs for the entire physical, heights, weights, distances of everything that needs to be pushed, pulled, lifted, all of it. And I built it in my backyard. And I failed at it.
Whoa.
Day after day after day.
You took what you needed to do from a physical standpoint and built it in the backyard so that you could literally practice all day long.
I replicated the entire physical in my backyard.
Wow, that is fascinating. And that is such a testament to massive persistence and desire.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just so funny. Like, that's one of the things I teach now is story, both the story we tell the world, but also the story we tell ourselves about what is possible or what isn't possible. And are we in alignment with what's actually true? Or are we operating on autopilot based on memos that the world or society or whoever has indoctrinated in us and we've just accepted them as true?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to get into the work that you're doing right now. And just to kind of, so your training, where did your head switch from, I don't know if I can do this and I need to, you know, I don't know if physically I can do this to actually I've got this?
I didn't feel like I had it. Here's what I didn't know then that I realized happened now. I was in vibrational alignment with the end goal. I knew what that phone call was going to feel like. I just kept not just picturing it and imagining it, feeling what it was going to feel like when I got that phone call.
Yes.
and there was every obstacle possible in my way. You know, like I had to learn to drive a truck, first aid, CPR, building construction, like all of the things, tech rescue, all of it. I had none of it. I was a manicurist. But here's what I know. I knew that Steve wouldn't lie to me, and I knew that he knew. So I didn't have to believe in myself. I just had to trust what he knew. And so I will spend the rest of my life being that for other people, because I never doubted it. I knew that I was going to get my ass handed it to me. I knew that it was going to be awful. I didn't know how long it was going to take. I knew that I was going to get my teeth kicked in, and I absolutely did. But I also knew that it was true.
Uh-huh.
And so 1,162 days later, I get the phone call welcoming me aboard as my city's first female firefighter.
Powerful.
And I spent the next two decades, you know, having people ask me about my story. But the truth is we still always have those wounds from childhood in us. And I was shy and I felt intrusive. And I'm like, I didn't really want to have the spotlight on me. I didn't want to accept any more acknowledgement for getting this job because I worked hard, but so did the guys that I came on with.
I have a question about that phone call when you received that.
Yes.
1,162 days after you were training. Was the phone call as exciting and fulfilling as you had imagined it to be?
It felt exactly like I pictured it. I just sobbed.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was almost like a healing. Mm-hmm. Because during that time, everybody doubted me. And you know, I had to go through this entire metamorphosis. I had to become who the person who would be successful at this would be.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't that person. And I had to sort of create that person. And it's not, you know, everybody talks about, you know, what you want to have based on what you, you know, do. But it starts with who are you being?
Yeah.
So I really had to reverse engineer the person who would be successful. Who would they be? They would be the person that would prioritize that and go without other things. They would be the person that did whatever it took, whether that be completely changing your diet, which I did, completely changing your workout regime, which I did, completely changing your schedule to accommodate all of those things and saying no to all of the things that don't support that.
Yeah.
That's who I had to be. And so that, you know, that's the work that I do now. And it is story. You know, I do teach brand story and you know, the art of the interview and transformational story selling. But really, I see story like this. You know, people are so, if you think of story like breath, you have an inhale and you have an exhale. And the exhale, think of that as like the result, the thing you put out into the world. Shelley became a firefighter. So-and-so has a seven-figure business. Somebody climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, lost 100 pounds, whatever that is, that exhale, that thing that we put out into the world. And that's what everybody focuses on. And they effort so hard at the thing, right? And it's,
yeah.
But the counterintuitive part, and it's actually far easier because on the inhale part of the story, is what you believe is true, what you believe isn't true, the meanings that you've assigned things and the memos and the things that you pick up throughout life, especially as a kid, particularly as a little girl, about what's appropriate, what you should do, what's possible. And, you know, like all of the precognitive commitments we make from the time we're little kids dictate what we believe, and we can't believe differently than we think. But once you quarter turn that piece of your story, it's like finding the first domino and then all of the other dominoes fall. And it is like building a bridge of possibility through your story. both the story you put out into the world. Like, what do you want to be known for? What is the legacy you want to leave? Who do you want to impact? Who do you want to serve? What kind of life, business, do you want to have? And really, it's so much easier than just finding the root and the through line, tracing it back to the inhale part of your story. Because the truth is, almost exclusively, your gift lives next to your pain. And if you can trace back the root of something that you, and in my case, it was, I was a bullied kid. The gift in that, I would have given anything to not be that kid, because it has affected my entire life to this day. But the thing that I developed that ended up being a gift was this hyper vivid imagination. And I used it not only to cope, but I also used it to survive, because feeling like it would feel being in another scenario was the thing that allowed me to keep going when my body was breaking down because I was working it so hard, when nobody believed in me, when nobody else saw my dream, when everybody told me I was crazy. It was the thing.
So there is so much here. I could sit and literally listen to you for hours, I can tell. This feels like such a gift to me and my listeners. And I want to make sure that I'm accurately hearing you around this conversation that you have with your story. When you talk about this inhale and the exhale, what I hear you saying is that the inhale is what ultimately then creates the exhale. But the inhale is both your own experience and how you shift your thinking, your beliefs, your meanings, the actions that you take. And then that is exactly what you put out into the world as your story. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. But before you can shift it, you have to become conscious of what it is. Because for us, and particularly women, I will say, it's like grain of sand, grain of sand, grain of sand. And here's what I mean by that. If you ask a little, and we get little girls to the fire hall all the time, so I can say this firsthand. Mm-hmm. If you ask a little girl, give me five first names of a firefighter or a race car driver, you will hear things like Mike, Steve, John. You will not hear Sally, Peggy. You will not hear that. Grain of sand. Mm-hmm. And things like that, it's like time after time, none of them are incidental on their own, but it's grain of sand, grain of sand. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, how the hell did I end up on a beach? Mm. And you accept these things as true. Mm. And it doesn't take very long before your unconscious mind just kind of paints a picture of what is possible. And, you know, you always find what you focus on. So you start noticing, firefighters are usually men, as an example, or, you know, it's not really appropriate for a woman to demand a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And so things like this start to affect your inhale part, your inner story, what you believe is possible. So you have to first become conscious of the fact that those are not actually true.
So when you're working with your clients and you're going into, or when you're speaking, when you go to where is the root, how do you walk somebody through that? How does somebody find the root of what their story is?
Solid question. And so my work now is I generally work with entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, coaches, those sorts of people, mm-hmm. about changing the story they put out into the world and also hacking possibility so they can create it on purpose. Okay. So I usually take them through an exercise. I have a list of what I call the sacred questions. And it's things like, what are your childhood memories? Like, what are the things that you remember from childhood? Mm-hmm. What broke your heart? What will you regret if you never do? Mm-hmm. What lights your soul on fire? What could you talk about for hours and forget about time, get lost in time? Because what happens is, if you remember something decades later, you made it mean something. You might not be aware of what the meaning is. Mm-hmm. And also too, like in those situations, using that as an example, you might, I'm making this up off the top of my head, but you might remember counting out red Smarties. And you're like, well, what? Yeah, I remember counting out red Smarties. But when you go into it a little bit deeper, there is usually something happening around you that you assigned a meaning to. Like, maybe
how does somebody do that work? How does somebody actually connect the dots from what they remember to then how it's playing out in their life today?
So when you remember the thing, we go into our body and it's like, how did that make you feel? Like, so you remember it, but how did you actually feel? And then they tap into the feeling of how they felt. And it's like, okay, what was going on around you? And it usually starts to unravel and not become completely obvious. Like usually you do this with somebody,
okay,
because they can see your blind spots.
Sure.
But when it comes to things like what broke your heart, you know, it's the first time in your life where you make that shift or that change, or you decide that something's not safe, or you decide that something, you know, in you gets shut down. Mm-hmm. And conversely, it's like what lights you up, but it will start to reveal breadcrumbs, and it'll show you usually why you're good at what you do or why you do what you do.
So this is so powerful. And I can tell that you do a lot of the unconscious work, right? Which is the root of what you're sharing. We've got to get through all of those. You can manifest and desire and think all the positive affirmations. And if this stuff is still happening, it is still playing out in our lives. One of the things that I often question is, at what point do you end up just processing all the time and like looking at all of the breadcrumbs versus like getting into action and just doing the thing?
Perfect question. I'm glad you asked that. Where people usually get stuck is they either don't feel the feelings and then get cracked open a little bit when they do, which is perfect. But oftentimes they'll look at somebody who's in the position that they aspire to. They're like, oh, you know, I would love to be Oprah Winfrey, but I'm not like Oprah Winfrey. Like she has this, she has that. And I'm over here and I feel vulnerable or I feel scared or I don't feel very brave. Mm-hmm. But what they need to realize is when you hear somebody like Oprah telling her story when she wasn't Oprah, when she was broke, scared, hadn't come out to her parents, whatever, living in a car, whatever it is for that person who's in that position you aspire to, it actually builds a bridge of possibility. So instead of saying, I'm not like Oprah, when we actually take a look at their story, we realize they weren't always like Oprah either. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. You know, it's like the juxtaposition of ordinary versus extraordinary. We look at those people and say, oh, well, they're extraordinary. They must have something I don't. But when we hack their story and get to the root of their story, we find that they were ordinary too. And then we realize they are actually just like me. And if they're like me and they did that, then what is possible for me? So that's the first thing. And the second thing to realize is people in those positions are often just doing it scared when they start anyway. Bravery is just fear in motion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bravery is not something that these people possess and they're doing it unafraid. They're just doing it scared.
Bravery is fear in motion. There's a quotable for all of you. Super powerful. Okay. So the people that you aspire to be like are just, in essence, just like us, just like you. And if they can do it, we can do it too. So would it be safe to assume that the way you coach people is like you do the excavation, you do the digging, you do the root work while you are taking action towards absolutely. The things that you desire?
Absolutely.
It's a both
absolutely. And. Yeah. And it is sort of like uncovering the story of like, if you had a book to write or if you had like, what is the gift that you want to give to the world? And is it in alignment with what's true for you? Or is it what you've been told you should be doing?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you.
So this is the process I use with my people. So again, the outcome is what is your story? What is the gift? What is the thing that you want to be putting out into the world? Whether that be a book, whether that be working with coaching clients, building a business, online courses, membership sites, whatever that looks like. But on the other side of it, what is holding you? First of all, is it true for you? Because oftentimes what I find is they're doing something close to what's true for them. So it doesn't feel completely foreign, but when you lock into that thing, they're like, oh, this is so easy. This is just flow. So the process I take them through follows the acronym FACES. And it's foundation. You have to believe in something bigger than yourself, better than yourself. I don't care what you call it. After that is alignment. Is what you're doing true for you? Because you can effort and you can climb a mountain and you can wake up every morning and hate it. And your parents can be lawyers and you can know, well, I'm smart enough to be a lawyer. I know what the lifestyle of a lawyer looks like. I'm expected to be a lawyer. And you can effort to the top of that mountain and get to the top of the mountain and go, wrong mountain. I actually wanted to be an oil painter. So alignment, you have to be following the goal worth chasing. Is it true for you? After that is courage. Courage is, again, if courage is just fear in motion. It's the same as bravery. You don't have to be unafraid. And the thing about courage is when you feel afraid, you have to actually take a second and try to acknowledge what you're afraid of. Because fear often, you're not usually afraid of the thing you're afraid of, the thing you think you're afraid of. Oftentimes you're afraid of what fear is asking you to look at that is too painful to see. Hmm. So that's courage. Hmm. So my whole premise is leading with possibility. So in this faces,
when I want you to finish the E and the S.
Okay, I'm getting there, but I just wanted to say this caveat. I'm going to get to E. But in this whole process, you'll notice so far in this process, we're leading with possibility. We're leading with our heart. We're leading with what do we actually want? We're not leading with logic. We're not going, is this possible? What are the chances? What are the odds? Have I seen it before? We're not doing that. All of this so far is we're leading with possibility. Only when we get to E, which is execution, that's when logic gets to come to the party. It's allowed on the bus. It's not allowed to drive.
Mm.
So yes. Logic is a tool to shore up possibility. Logic isn't how we make our choices. That's not how healthy, emotionally healthy, spiritually enlightened people live. So foundation, alignment, courage, that's all possibility. Now execution, and finally support. Who are your mentors? Who is your community? Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Who are we removing from our circle because they're toxic or they're loving us within the limitations of their fear? Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, when I was trying to be a firefighter, people are looking at me like I'm ridiculous. I'm tiny, 108 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know skills, knowledge, nothing. I have no relatable skills to this task whatsoever. So everybody was saying, well, you know, Shelley, like, you know, how long is this going to take before you quit this and do something else? You know, this isn't going to happen. We don't want to see you disappointed. You know, it's a danger, like excuse. Yeah. They were loving me within the limitations of their fear because they didn't believe it was possible and they couldn't see it, but it also wasn't their dream.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they don't want to see me disappointed. Yes, they could see how much I was, you know, passionate about it and they didn't want to see me get my heart broken. But we can't be afraid of disappointment. And also you can't steer a parked car. Like you have to start.
Thank you. So that's what I wanted to get to in my next question is this. And I just, this is so beautiful. Everything you're sharing. I have recently launched something. My community knows that I have been going through a similar process myself, as we all are, I'm sure, all the time, right? And I have launched something that just feels so to my core in alignment. I have been running my business the last couple of years, which feels exciting and on purpose and all of that in a way that I should, like in a way that like a coaching business should be, you know, scaled and done. And in so many ways, it felt amazing. And yet there was just this thing that wasn't coming forward. And I have now launched the Feminine Collective Community and it just lights me up and it feels so graceful and so easy. And it wasn't quote unquote smart. And my mentors, my business strategy people told me this isn't, you know, what you should do, or this can't be leveraged, or you can't scale with your following. And I was just like, screw it. Like,
but you know, but to your point, that's perfect because you can't measure heart. Like, how do you quantify the innovation? Like people will say to you, oh, this is not how you should do it. This doesn't make any sense. What if you're about to create the next freaking most amazing thing in a way that's never been done before? Walt Disney did it. Tesla did it. Like brilliant minds do it that way. Like, I feel like you're probably onto something if people are telling you, oh, you probably shouldn't do that. It's like, is it that it can't be done, or is it just that it hasn't been done yet?
Yes. And so one of the things that I find that my clients get into when I talk about, you know, get into alignment, do the meditation, do the uncovering work, is, well, if I'm not fully in alignment, then I'm not going to take action. Right. And so what do you say to the person that's like, well, I'm not crystal clear and I'm not sure. And there's this element of kind of waiting around. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
You can't steer a parked car and you're not going to get it perfect. And the imperfection is the perfection. And, yes. And so just start. And here's the thing, like oftentimes you can't see around the corner unless you start moving.
but it's the thing around the corner that had you not, it's not started moving imperfectly, you would have never gone, just like to your point, oh, there you are. There's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes also gifts don't come wrapped in a bow. Sometimes they come wrapped in, well, that didn't go perfectly. Yeah. And it's the best gift you could have gotten. Like that little bullied kid who was getting her ass kicked was the biggest gift that ended up happening. Like, no, I would never choose to go through that. But man, like, I wouldn't be sitting here today had I not had to grow and expand and figure it out and cry and break and heal and show all of my cracks. Like, yeah. The imperfection is the beauty. And also too, like, you know, if you want to be able to influence somebody, if you want to be able to make an impact for your people, you know, Robert Cialdini wrote the book Influence. And one of the factors is reciprocity, and that is giving first. But mm-hmm. what you're giving first is vulnerability. It's your rocket fuel. Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing. And there is also too, like, again, bravery is just fear in motion. You're not going to feel super confident doing the thing that you want to do when you start.
And it's actually like, going to feel the most vulnerable or the most terrifying doing the thing that you desire to do most, because it's like you're literally putting your heart like out there for people to reject, for people to have, you know, for there to be a lot of potential naysay, and it feels the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. But there's also the confidence competence loop. You know, you don't have the skills until you do it, and you don't want to do it until you have the skills. You just have to, be a yard sale in the beginning and have that. That is not only okay, it's amazing. That's where the gifts live.
Yeah. Shelley, there's one more little snippet of what you talk about that I just want to dive into before we wrap up today's episode. And that is this idea of, you talk about magnetizing the selling process. In my own words, it was like selling with soul. Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere that, you know, that when your customers relate to you on a personal level and they feel seen, not sold, you're literally magnetizing your community to you. Tell me about kind of how you talk about that and how you frame selling, because it is just such a, you know, like people feel so icky, and yet it is 100% part of this growing a business.
Absolutely. The truth is, when you learn to tell your story, it serves, it spreads, and it sells. And it is by virtue of putting your thumbprint on it, learning and uncovering what is your story, what is, my roots are Native American, so what is your original medicine, your sacred gift, that thing that if you don't share it with the world, it will be lost for all time. You articulate that, you don't have any competition. It does all of the heavy lifting in the sales process. And it is simply by doing the work of tracing back the root, figuring out, like, my gift lives next to my pain. What did that look like? What did I learn? How did I evolve? You know, you are brave enough to share your story, to share your personal journey. You literally do not have any competition. And the people that are out there that are in the dark, you become the lighthouse, the beacon in the dark, where people go, there you are. Like, thank you for saying something brave and true, because the truth is palpable. Thank you for saying something brave and true so that I can put my hand up and say me too, because I was suffering by myself before you said it.
God, this is so powerful. I am so excited to go and dive into your work. Where can everybody find you, and how can they get more of you?
Absolutely. So I have a very quick 5-second story formula mini training, so that if anybody is starting out and practicing telling their story, whether it be on a stage or a Facebook Live, if they want to pick that up, it's at shelleyvarela.com/freebie. Okay. And that's the 5-second story formula. But anywhere on social media, you can find me at Shelley Varela, Instagram, Facebook, all of the things. You know, I do have a course coming up in September called Transformational Story Selling, where I take people through this very deep dive process of how do we speak to our audiences? What are the different audiences? Why are some people ignoring you? How do you pitch? How do you sell? You know, I have experience in like corporate pitch pieces and press releases, and how do we talk to different audiences so that we can be seen, heard, and matter, but also so that our audience, most importantly, can feel seen, heard, and matter. If everybody listening hears this one thing, they need to know this, And that's, some people will say to me, well, Shelley, I don't have your, I went from a manicurist to a firefighter story. Nobody's going to be listening to me. The reason my story resonates is because of one phrase, and everybody has it. And that one phrase is the transformational moment in the story when you hear yourself say, and then I realized.
Ah, absolutely amazing, Shelley. I am so grateful for our mutual friend, Kathy Heller, for introducing us. And
Kathy Heller.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for just showering myself and my community with your wisdom and your grace and your brilliant mind. I appreciate you being on here.
My absolute pleasure.